the player I'm going to get mad at you guys about, just so, you know, steel yourself.
Failure.
You take it very personally.
You shame me, guys. You shame me.
Uh-oh.
Tell me why I'm wrong.
So I'm just going with my heart over my head, because my head is stupid anyway.
Prepare for total domination.
Oh, that's just dumb, though.
I've never been proven more wrong in my life so quickly and so dramatically. Recording! October 5th, 2023! We're back!
Yes.
It's been a minute, folks. Yeah, I don't know. We got to rethink this whole how to record during the playoffs thing. It has been too long, and I am just like filled to bursting, and so is our docket. But first, a co-host. This is the sixth podcast of the year, but you already knew that. You clicked on the link, so you know. All right, with me, Snap Wilson, co-hosts Becky Robococo and MJ Tolliver. How has everybody been in the interim?
Becky.
I have been amazing. I just got back from a beautiful wedding in Vermont. Some of my best friends. So I have not watched most of the games from this week. And then I came back sick. So if you just hear some sniffling, that's me. I'll try to keep myself on mute.
No worries. We will. We open arms, sniffles and all.
Yes, yes.
MJ, what about yourself?
Me.
So you know, you may have read something about the great big hack that occurred in Las Vegas with MGM. Yeah. I am a computer security consultant out here.
Nice.
And I have been brought in to help.
Let's go.
It is very lucrative, but it has also been extremely busy, and just it's been a madhouse. But yeah, that's me. That has been my life, and it has taken over a great percentage of my waking hours, but thankfully I've had time to pay attention to WNBA news and watch some WNBA games and sleep.
Right.
How about you, MJ? What's going on?
I'm just happy to be on with you guys. Like, it's just been the same for me.
Long.
Just work and being a dad and trying to get my life to another chapter here. But yeah. I miss y'all. Like, y'all are the glue.
That's what I mean? We keep each other sane, and yeah. I don't know how we've survived without it. We were going to record Tuesday. Becky was sick, and I got my shot, my COVID booster.
Okay.
And I like to combine that with as many shots as possible because, you know, I live my life on hard mode, guys. That's how it works. I did the flu, I did the pneumonia, I did some shingles. Like, ooh. I went for like the quintuple. There was another shot in there. I don't even know what it was, but I got it. I was loopy as hell that day. That would have made for an interesting podcast day. And then yesterday I was just completely racked with pain.
It was over here. We got an alcohol shot. We'll put it right in your blood.
No, the alcohol shot should have been the sixth shot. I really needed that afterwards, but, did that, but I'm feeling much better today and it is all good. All right. Enough about us. We've got a stacked pod for y'all. You know that it's been a week, folks, and we're going to dig into a little bit of all of it. Since we last, let's get the worst part, the worst part of the news. We got Dirica Hamby filing a complaint with the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, as well as, what is it, the Nevada Equal Rights Commission, on September 22nd. A lot of this is what she has already stated online. There are a couple of other interesting little tidbits in here. She alleges that the ACEs tried to retrieve her OBGYN records after she was with the team. That's wild. I don't know why they would do that unless they were expecting a lawsuit or something. Maybe that's why, but I could not say. But let's go through this because we have a lawyer here. And she knows a thing or three about, I think especially about employment law. Is that correct, Becky?
Yeah, that's where I practice.
That's where you practice. So she is, we got the expert here for you. And she is going to talk us through what is a complaint with the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission. How does that work?
Yeah, so I've been seeing some reporting calling it a lawsuit. It's not a lawsuit. It is a required step before you file a lawsuit. And so she could at any time ask for a notice of right to sue from the EEOC and from the Nevada State Commission, and just go and file a lawsuit. But I have not heard that that's happened. So right now it's in the administrative agency stage, and what they're tasked with doing is investigating the complaint. They'll assign an investigator and talk to all the parties. It sounds like she's made a few claims, a harassment claim based on pregnancy, that she created a hostile work environment, a discrimination claim, and then a retaliation claim, bringing in the WNBA as well, for failure to do a proper investigation. That one's kind of interesting because we know the ACES complained that the investigation wasn't very well done and that their players weren't interviewed. So those statements might end up hurting them. Mm-hmm. In this process. But yeah, so I've never worked before the Nevada Commission. It's the same complaint, that it's just the EEOC and Nevada state agencies will cooperate on it, but it sounds like that it's Nevada that's investigating. The federal government, it can be very slow. So it can be a very slow process. So it's possible we won't know for a while. There also can be, investigators have authority to do mediation. And so it could be, this could just turn into a mediation, in which case they may end up with some sort of confidential settlement, which we also might not know about. But basically at the end of the investigation, they basically say, yes, our investigation concluded something. No, our investigation didn't. The EEOC can decide to take up the lawsuit on D'Erica Hamby's behalf. That's very rare. And typically those cases are only brought when it's kind of in one of whatever the EEOC is focusing on right now. They sometimes have kind of like a bugaboo about a certain issue, so those suits will be brought. Or if they find a substantial finding that discrimination, harassment, retaliation would occur, then they try to negotiate a conciliation with the ACES and the WNBA. And so there's a number of remedies. I mean, here it's mostly just monetary remedies, right?
Yeah.
I don't think she wants to be reinstated with the ACES, and I don't know how that it would even work.
That would be wild.
Yeah. yeah, and that's often not a solution that the parties would like. But I think it's also very possible that they won't go through the full investigation process and will just instead ask for the right to sue. Yeah, that's my understanding of what's going on. The allegations are obviously very troubling, and we're hearing more and more about it. What I would encourage people when they're thinking about this is to not make this just like a finals ACES versus Liberty narrative, which I'm seeing. Like, this is
kind of
bigger than that. It's bigger than fan rivalries. Even if you're an ACES fan, you can say, hey, that's really shitty in a women's league to do this.
as we have.
Yeah. And as a Liberty fan, you can say, hey, that's really shitty, and not like make it about now the Liberty are great. Like, that's not really what this is about. Anyway, that's what I have to say about it.
So, and I do like that this is going to actually involve proper labor law and not just the contents of the CBA, which really make no allowances for this sort of thing.
Yeah, and the CBA will be relevant, but they still, you know, you have to comply with Title VII and whatever the Nevada analog of Title VII is as well.
Yeah.
Yeah,
good and proper law. I mean, Richard Cohen mentioned today, I think it was Richard Cohen, he mentioned today that the CBA does not count whether you're pregnant as potential part of discrimination. In other words, you can be traded if you're pregnant because you're pregnant, and it would not violate the CBA. And that's apparently a clause, the clause for discrimination, that just copied straight from the NBA guide and didn't really take into account that women play in the WNBA. So that's a good one for the new CBA right there. A nice change that should be implemented.
Yeah.
Happy this is actually getting to good and proper law, and we're getting out of the realm of what the WNBA is, you know, their governance, because it was clearly inadequate. Anyway, moving on. Or MJ, did you have anything you wanted to talk about this?
Oh, Becky.
Yeah, I know that.
Super articulated it.
We learned more in the past 10 minutes here than I have been reading anything else about this. So yes, there you go, guys. Definitely. Dropping knowledge for you. You're not finding anywhere else that I can see. All right. Let's get just mentioned briefly all of the awards that have been announced. Asia Wilson won the Defensive Player of the Year. Aaliyah Boston, as expected, won the Rookie of the Year. Satu Sabally, the Most Improved Player. We had already known by the last podcast, Alicia Clark was our sixth Player of the Year. Coach of the Year, Stephanie White. Executive of the Year, Jonathan Kolb, New York Liberty. There was an all-defense team, which included a lot of players. Not even going to bother to look it up. It's fine. And the all-rookie team was kind of interesting in that it had the four that we all kind of figured were going to be on it, with Aaliyah and Diamond Miller and Dorca Juhas, Jordan Horston. And then the fifth one, which was kind of up in the air, and it wound up being Li Meng. That's something.
Yeah,
I'm not mad.
She made a strong, like, she was a really solid bench presence for them.
Yeah.
She would come in and she could get herself open for those threes and knock them down.
Yeah.
She was valuable for that team.
There were a lot of candidates for that fifth spot, for sure. So I just thought, all right, that's cool. You know, I'm a big Li Meng fan. I stand. So I hope she comes back and goes for that all-sophomore team. And then we have the MVP vote, which, you know, controversial or however you want to call it. I am not mad at this either. Breanna Stewart was named the MVP. Breanna Stewart had a very good season. I had her. I thought she had the second best season. We had Alyssa Thomas getting the most first place votes, and we had somebody who voted Asia Wilson fourth. I'm not even mad at that. If I had a ballot, everybody would have been terribly mad at me. I wouldn't have had Alyssa Thomas on it in the top five. I would have been destroyed. I realize this now, but I would have admitted it, and I would have stated why. So there. Cowardly voter. You didn't even bother to explain why you had Asia. Well, you didn't own it. That's even worse. I will accept an explanation. You could be right. Everybody has the right to be wrong in their validating, but own it. Don't hide.
I'm leaving. I'm about to leave. I can't believe you wouldn't have voted.
We went through this. We went through this the last time. I had her seventh. We already went through this. It's over. It comes down to efficiency, something that everybody wants to ignore. And that's fine. Y'all want to ignore it in favor of numbers. That's okay. Efficiency is what wins games. And that's why she was seventh. I was just thinking, man, I would have gotten destroyed if I was a voter. I absolutely.
You really would.
Hung out to dry.
Stephanie White would have a thread about you.
Yeah, she would. I would have been everything. This guy, somebody would have told me that I don't know basketball. I come out here and I don't know basketball. Several people I admire would just be decrying me. So I would have owned it. I would have said why. In a long post in the Players Tribune. I don't know. Anyway, let's
NotesApp apology.
NotesApp apology. That's it. I have to figure out how to use NotesApp so I can. All right. Expansion. Oh boy, what a week! All right, we have confirmed one expansion team, the Golden State Sea Lions, or whatever the hell that they're going to be called.
Seals.
San Francisco Sea Lions. That would be so cute.
I would love that. I love seeing sea lions in San Francisco.
Yeah, Kayla and I were. She was like the Portland Penguins when it came. I was like the San Francisco sea lions. Let's go, little cute mascots. You know. Yeah. Anyway, the Golden State Warriors, Joe Lacob, owner, has now decided that he wants a WNBA team. And we're getting one. They're going to play in San Francisco in the Chase Center, which is an arena that was built in 2019. It is very, very nice. Everything about this looks great. They're starting off with a state-of-the-art practice facility that was remodeled or revamped or refurbished something pretty recently in Oakland, where the Warriors themselves used to be headquartered. Now the team to be named later. the Sea Lions will be headquartered on the Oakland side, and they're going to have their own practice facility right from the jump. Coincidentally, mind you, the Phoenix has announced that they're going to build their own practice facility. So that's good. Keep up, or who knows what might happen to you. And then there are rumors that Portland is hitting the Board of Governors vote, and Kathy has said she is hoping to have two teams in time for the 2025 season. This is awesome news. The best part of this was Joe Lacob, you know, we're going to win a championship in the first five. I'm sure he said it exactly like that too. We're going to win a championship in the first 5 years, he said, as he chomped down on his cigar. So we got an owner who's massively rich and has a huge ego and wants to win the championship. He's going to spend money on this. As much as we want to think about what the expansion, you know, what the rules are going to be, how they're going to get to draft, all that, I have a feeling the team in year one and the team in, say, year three are going to bear no resemblance, because I think that it's going to be like the New York Liberty when they were in the wobble and the New York Liberty this year. It's going to be night and day. They're going to nail some big free agent signings and probably look like a great team by the time they're really ready to contend, is my guess. But let us hear your thoughts. MJ, what do you think about the San Francisco Sea Lions?
I don't know. I listened to Sirius XM radio, the NBA channel or whatever, and I came across it a while ago, like that it was it was like some other podcast or something I was listening to a while ago, like the top of this year or something like that, that were they were talking about them in I'm about to say Golden State, San Francisco or whatever the hell they want to be considered, that they had already had everything set up. They had did all of the like groundwork around what it would take to have a WNBA team come there, and that they're already set up for it and everything. And they were pressing hard as hell. So it's cool to see them like execute that and for them to be gifted and awarded with the team now, you know what I mean? Cause it's like, yeah, you did the work, you know, and it was kind of public, but you know, not necessarily super public where everybody knew that they were doing that. But the fact
that they were making a lot of noise about it. They were just getting down to it and doing it.
Yeah. And they just put their heads down and like, yeah, it's like a huge team of people that was involved and everything. So yeah, to see it actually come to fruition for them, like, yeah, I love that for them. And I just wish, or I hope, it's like rumblings of the whole Portland thing. But I'm thinking the WNBA doesn't seed by conference anyway. So I guess, but hopefully they throw a team on the East. It would be nice to have Detroit come back since we won championships, or put the team in Toronto since they're their own country. And you know, they're going to go support their team. You know what I mean? Like that's an automatic, that'll be a surplus for the WNBA to put a team in like Toronto. Something like that. So yeah, I love the news, man, and I'm hoping they also continue to bring some more type of news, like say, you know, we have an extra roster spot now, we're gonna do one more roster spot, or we're gonna, you know what I mean, just because it's so many players that are talented that aren't in the league that need opportunities. So yeah,
I also the other good thing about the super rich owner is, these guys don't like being told that they can't spend money. So when they're pushing for a new CBA, we're gonna have another voice that's like, why won't you let me have private jets for my team? Right. Why won't you let me pay another player and all of that? So
yeah.
Every little bit helps. Don't betray us, Joe. Don't cheap out. Becky, what are your thoughts on the new expansion team?
Obviously thrilled. More WNBA is always good. This team, and also if Portland comes to fruition, are both places where some of my best friends live. So it's just like, thank you.
Hey.
I would love that. Boston next. so I can complete the circle. I think this might be kind of controversial opinion, but I really like the idea of like when the WNBA teams are associated with the NBA teams in their cities. Mm-hmm. I'm in Chicago, where our team's not associated with the Bulls, and it always just feels like this missed opportunity where there's occasional overlapping things and a lot of the Bulls players come to the games, but it feels like there's just like this great opportunity for cross promotion, for having the players get to know each other, all of this that's kind of missed mm-hmm. out when they're separate entities. So I like it. I also get the argument about having the WNBA kind of be super separate from the NBA, but I don't know. They're all playing basketball. It kind of makes sense. And so, yeah, this is great. And I agree. I just hope it keeps going. More players.
Yeah. My discussion with Arya, because he was saying the same thing. He was saying basically he doesn't like to have the WNBA be involved in the NBA, and there are good reasons for that, is because it kind of gets treated like the stepchild a little bit, especially when you have like WNBA people working social media or NBA people doing social media for the WNBA, doing backbone stuff for the WNBA, and that's the part where it's like, you kind of want him to get out and let the WNBA just be their primary focus and do their thing. And the Atlanta owner, our favorite, Larry Gottesdiener, has basically essentially said the same thing. I don't mind, though, that of owners double dipping per se. If you like basketball, great. Why wouldn't you want an NBA and a WNBA team? And whether they're owned by the same people or not, it's awesome. It would be awesome. Just like, show up. Why wouldn't you support another basketball team in your city?
Yeah, I think the problem with that is like, not necessarily that they're associated with the NBA, but like the teams are not putting in the care that they need.
Yeah.
You know, either way, it can be independently owned and have things fall through the cracks and things not be very well run, which we've seen. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, it can be owned by an NBA team. Or an entity owns both the NBA and the WNBA teams, and if they put in resources to the WNBA that are significant, it can work great.
Yeah, then I don't think absolutely.
It necessarily has to be treated like a stepchild. Like, that's the problem.
I get what you're saying. Okay, all right. Now, you know what? Also, in addition to all this other stuff, some basketball happened. There were two WNBA. So yeah, I was surprised. Yeah, there was like some series that happened. Some basketball happened a while ago, but I guess we'll talk about it. So we have the Las Vegas Aces defeating the Dallas Wings in three games, and the New York Liberty toppling the Connecticut Sun in four. We'll get with the less exciting one out of the way first. The Aces beat the Dallas Wings 97-83 in game one. It is so long ago. I don't remember what happened in that game.
Facts.
We won. And then they followed it up with a 91-84 beating, and then on the road in Dallas, the ugliest game that they've played all year, 64-61. One thing that has stood out to me in watching Dallas play the Aces here, I think they've played the best defense of any team against the Aces. The Tierra Kalani thing was a handful. And I think just in general, like, we saw really good defensive possessions against the team. They're having Crystal Dangerfield. They probably bugged Chelsea Gray more than anyone else. They found a way to do it. Crystal Dangerfield, I think, was probably more instrumental than than I would have given her credit for. I think that most people would have given her credit for. And it was kind of weird that she, towards the end of the series, they decided to go more with Odyssey Sims than play her. And we had some Veronica Burton in crunch time as well for during that period. So that was kind of interesting. And then just beyond that, you know, we got our good friend Arike, you know, giving a crap on the defensive end and actually, you know, trying to get turnovers and such. It was bothersome. They never really were able to hit that maximum gear. And I say this knowing they scored 97 and 91 points in two of the games, is that we didn't really see like the, we're just running over you, forget about it, you're done.
Yeah.
Type of gear. So I'm happy to have them in the rear view mirror. Just looking at each game individually, in game one, is WNBA just, you're just going to be so slow in loading. Here we go. 97-83. Asia Wilson, just making everybody regret that MVP vote. 34 points and 15 of 21 shooting. Plus 26, 8 rebounds. Kelsey Plum, 25. Jackie Young, 19 points on 10 shots, 10 rebounds, 7 assists. It's nice.
Sheesh.
Yeah. Good game.
Cheek hole team.
Yeah. That game, Dallas had 5 players in double figures. Natasha Howard, Satu Sabali, she had a 16 and 7 and 7. Pretty darn nice. Arike only scored 12. It's just weird when you say, it's like, oh, double figures. Hey, they got double figures. And you look at Arike's 12 and you're like, just 12? That is. Right. 12.6 assists. Crystal Dangerfield and Odyssey Sims and Kalani Brown. That's right. They had another player. It's like looking way down the list here. Kalani Brown also had 10 points. Very balanced scoring, but not enough scoring. As it turns out, when one of your players scores 34 points, you need a little bit more.
Yeah.
You need a little bit more than that gas tank. I swear, I went to both of these games and I have no freaking idea what happened in either one of them. It's just, it has been a blur.
Yeah.
I know that they were both close at points, and then the Aces just like would
punch them in the mouth. Yeah,
that would be it. Asia again scored 30 points in the second game, 30 points on 10 of 18 shooting, 11 rebounds. We had Chelsea Gray, 23, 8 assists. Jackie Young contributed 13. Kelsey Plum, 18 points. Nice.
Man, you're not beating that. You're not going to beat that.
Yeah, yeah. Having a player score 30 points, as it turns out, is a pretty nice advantage to have.
Yeah. Every night?
Yeah, she was up until the last game. I think she was averaging over 30 points for the playoffs. So, Arike, 24 points. Natasha Howard, 20 points. It's pretty good. 13 for Satu Sabali with 6 rebounds. 12 points for Tier McCowan, 10 rebounds. Pretty good. Not bad. Yeah. Good stuff. And then this ugly ass third game, which was a goddamn chore. Should have won. They should have.
Yeah, with their horrible stuff.
They didn't score for the final
last 5 minutes. Yeah.
Oh, well. Yeah, they got hit with somebody was saying they got hit with a little bit of their own medicine. I don't know about that. They probably should have scored a couple points. Wait, where am I? I'm in the wrong game here. Here we go. Asia Wilson, not a great game in this one, but she almost had a triple double. Unfortunately, one of the stats was turnovers. She had 13 points, 13 rebounds, and 9 freaking turnovers. Ooh. Ouch. 15 points from Chelsea Gray. Chelsea, like, really bailed us out in this game.
Yeah, she did.
Yeah. And then 11 from Kelsey Plum, 11 from Jackie Young. When you're only scoring 60 points, that's pretty hefty to get 4 players scoring that much for you. Arike, 18 points on 8 of 24. Ugh. Ugh. Yeah. Yeah. Tier McCowan, 10 points, 15 rebounds. Natasha Howard, 14 points, 8 rebounds. But everybody shot terribly in this game. And those last few minutes, God, they were just misery.
Yeah, it was. and very frustrating because the game was on the line at that point. Like the Wings could have took it and ran with it at that moment. And
one more basket. It was all that they needed.
Yeah, that's it. and they could have like maybe built some momentum off of that and maybe felt more threatening going into a game four, but it just fell apart. It was kind of horrible.
I was just going to tell a quick anecdote. So this wedding I was at this weekend was at a campsite that literally had no cell reception or internet. That's why I didn't see the games. But one of my friends came in like next day late. And so she like brought news of the WNBA. And she was just like, that was the ugliest, most embarrassing basketball I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah. Not wrong.
she's someone who prides herself on making free throws. And so like the free throw numbers are just disgusting to her.
Yep.
So that's the only, that was like my only WNBA news of the weekend.
Yeah, Tierra McCowan, you know, maybe just like spend an off season at the line. practice your free throws.
Yeah.
Something. Definitely. Yeah. There's a lot to say. We're gonna do kind of a postmortem here on Dallas. very interesting team going forward for sure. But anyway, yeah, I was happy because I didn't want to see another clunker like that. That the Aces had just finished the series off. It was really ugly. They had their own like scoring drought. I think it was in the third quarter or so where it looked like somebody put just a glass lid on top of the bucket and layups, open layups, just boink, missing. And I hated it. I hated it so much. Let us never speak of this again. So let's talk a bit about Dallas now and how we're feeling about this team. The vibes were very positive. Watched all the exit interviews and everybody talking about it, and it seems to be all very, very positive. My optimism is tempered. I think they got their number one, and it's the best looking number one they've had in a while. Satu was magnificent this season. She could use a little improvement in the efficiency area. She was fine. She could get up even further, limit things like the turnovers, the personal fouls, clean up to her game, and she'll be in the MVP conversation. 2 through 4, I have complaints about all of them. Arike lowered her scoring. She didn't quite gun as much, but she didn't get a whole lot more efficient with that either. And a lot of that final stretch in that final game, and quite frankly, in various points during this series, was her trying to just make, you know, a tough three, a miracle three. Not really. The offense didn't really move.
Right.
To where it should have. Bad decisions. Lobs to McCowan or Kalani that just didn't have a chance. So many of their turnovers were things like that. I think that she is a very good floor raiser, and I think that the better the team gets, the more awkward it is. Have her use up possessions the way that she's currently using them. She could obviously improve. She could figure out some balance and stop taking so many of the low percentage shots. Find a way to move the ball. Use her skills, her speed, her ability to, you know, get into the lane, things like that. So there's obviously hope. I think for all of the players, you know, we're about to talk about, except maybe one, that there's hope for a big improvement. Tierra, there's a lot to clean up. There really is. Complains too much and takes herself out of the play, complaining about fouls. And to her credit, Latricia benched her a couple of times when she did that. The players were going the other way, and she was stuck with the referee. Apparently she does this a lot in EuroLeague too, because some people who have watched it brought it up. She doesn't get back into the play and argues with the ref while the opposing team is carrying the ball down to the other end. Just, there's a lot of that. There is, you know, other things like the footwork and the abilities to get the ball in the post and seal, and all of these basic fundamental big skills that lead to really good post scores is something that she could learn. Her efficiency is pretty darn great, but it's also like when you compare it to your you know, your Brittany Griners, your Sylvia Fowles, your other players who are really good post players, given her height and given her ability to, you know, get putbacks and everything, could be higher. And it's just, it's, this is something that I think that we kind of bring up a little bit every year. It's like you have a sizable advantage and you need to learn to exploit it better. So possible that she does. And then we're Natasha Howard, and Natasha Howard at this point is, we just kind of know she's not a very efficient offensive player. Too many turnovers. Shooting outside of range, not the best. Doesn't seem to want to post up anymore. She wants to shoot from three, and she wants to shoot mid-ranges, and her post-up wasn't that great anyway, so that's fine, I guess. But you're not getting super efficient unless she just, like, goes on a tear. But it would, that's what it would take. It'd take a season that is kind of out of her range. So we got three players who have real efficiency questions right behind Satu. And it kind of dims my enthusiasm for this team going forward. I think Natasha is signed through next year, if I'm not mistaken. I have to take a look at that. How are you feeling about your ex, MJ?
I'm actually feeling optimistic about them.
Okay, talk us through it.
I think they're in a good place. I think they needed this experience, especially against the Aces. I think it'll do well for them. But I don't like that they went into panic mode and it made them look like last year's team, which is pretty much like what you're saying. You know what I mean? Like they kind of reverted, but with the new iteration of themselves, where Satu is, you know, second option now and whatnot, Tierra's who she is now, and everybody else, like, so it's like bailout mold came, and you know, Arike was throwing up, like, you know, super prayers, like, oh please God, let that go in. No, you know, and they have to find another way to slow the game down in the playoffs and execute, like, in those moments. And I don't know if Arike is capable, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. I mean, we spoke about her earlier in the season, and then we watched her kind of expand her game a little bit over the course of the season, and actually slow down, be more in control of the pace and stuff like that. And I think that if she can take another step and just really become a floor general, she has to become a floor general, or they have to go get one.
Somebody has to be a floor general.
Yeah. Or this team will always run into the same problem. So I agree to an extent. I won't speak to the inefficiency of the players, because I think, you know, I think it'll get better. Like, especially if Satu is not a turnover machine like she has been over the course of the season, and maybe she's the floor general, you know, because they did have her bringing the ball up a lot this season and stuff like that. But if we can see them turn some of those, like, mistakes into, you know, okay, I got the experience, okay, I've been through this and that, all right, let me improve this aspect of my game, then I think Dallas will be a pretty good team, a really formidable team going into next year, because I didn't even expect them to be this good that they were this year. So I'm optimistic about them.
Okay. All right. Becky, how you feeling about Dallas going forward?
Stick two. They are still a relatively young team, and a lot of you saw a lot this season of really, like, how good they can be, and then a lot of, like, ooh, it's kind of a mess. Mm-hmm. And those are things that could be cleaned up potentially. I think Tierra McCowan's gotten better every single year. She's not a high finesse player, but she's improved in those areas. She does get hacked a lot, so sometimes a little bit. But I agree that probably whining that much, but that's a thing that's, like, that's fixable, right? Mm. I think Arike had a better year. Her assist numbers were up. It makes sense to me that when things got stressed in the playoffs, she kind of reverted back to her, like, I gotta do everything to win mode.
Yeah.
But hopefully this experience will be helpful for that.
Maybe it's just viewing them against the Aces that kind of is giving me that impression.
Yeah. The Aces are a And they're a team that punishes every single mistake you make.
Yep.
You know, one faulty pass and it's 2 points every single time. But they made it really far this season, and Satu, like, this was her first full season.
Yeah.
Never played a full season before. So, at least not in the WNBA. So there's weaknesses, but I see, I'm hopeful. Plus, they got Maddie Segrest that are being developed, you know?
That's right.
Maddie Ice.
Right?
Offensive
a very
rebounder
efficient player.
Extraordinaire, Maddie Segrest. She's going to be playing in AU, too. I'm so excited.
Yeah, no, I'm going to love to see that. That's fun. Do you get to go to those games? Aren't they in Vegas?
No, the first season they were. In the second season, they were in Dallas, I believe.
Yeah.
Okay.
If they're back in Vegas, well, we'll see. Wherever they are, we'll see.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, if I'm local, I'm going to go catch some Maddie Buckets. Faux show. Okay. Moving on over to the other side of the bracket, we have the New York Liberty taking down the Connecticut Sun in four games. Connecticut won the first game 78-63. They had 20 points out of DeJuana Bonner, who's just lighting it up. I thought the MVP in that first game was Rebecca Allen, personally. 18 points.
Yeah, for
seven
sure.
Of nine. Yeah, seven rebounds. Defensively, what a postseason for her.
Yeah, definitely.
She looked like the key to this team on defense. Absolutely. I came away so impressed. It wasn't so much about the efficiency of Sabrina, but she denied her so many times. It was fantastic. Yeah, anyway, 18 points, 4-6 from the floor for her, 7 rebounds, 2 steals in that game one. Tiffany Hayes chipped in 12 points. We kind of got the Tiffany Hayes experience this postseason.
Yeah.
I'm sorry you missed some of these games, Becky. Tiffany Hayes was an absolute...
I definitely saw a Tip Hayes game.
Mess
Didn't
of a delight.
Like 30 points?
She had
30 games?
Points in the game. She was very demonstrative. We got the Tiffany Hayes playoff experience. And finally, I'm finally glad that we got that, you know, in over the course of more than three games, which I think is all we've ever had before. Natisha Heidemann chipped in 12 in that game one. And gosh, what happened to New York in that game? Brianna Stewart, 7 of 25 from the floor, minus 16. She looked really off those first few games. And then she was awarded the MVP award. And then she, like, after that, she played pretty great. 14, Jonquel Jones. 12, Sabrina. Nobody shot particularly well. It was not good. The bench didn't come up with really a whole hell of a lot. That's why they lost. Mm-hmm. The Connecticut defense in that first game was, like, the biggest factor over the offense, over New York Liberty's offense or defense or whatever. The Connecticut defense was very, very good in that game. That was the last bad game but Nigel Laney would have. She went three, only scored 3 points, 1 of 9 from the floor. After that, she was really, really good. New York won game two, 84-77. Here we go. But Nigel Laney, 20 points, 7-11, 4 rebounds, 3 assists. She's having a postseason, folks.
Yeah.
Brianna still not great this game either. 3 of 13, only 11 points. Jonquel Jones, 11 points, 5 of 12. Sabrina went off in this game, 21 points, 5 of 12 from the floor. Was this the game? No, Rebecca Allen did play this game. She missed game three. 19 points from Sloot.
Yes.
Yeah. Assists all around. Brianna Stewart, 5 assists. Sabrina Ionescu, 5 assists. Courtney Vandersloot, 4 assists. You love to see that if you're New York. They are, yes, of course, built on that. This was the Tip Hayes bonkers game. 30 points, 12 of 19 from the floor. What a game. 19 points from DeJuana Bonner as well, but not enough. Alyssa Thomas only held to 10 on 2 of 13 shooting. 8 rebounds and 9 assists, so that's something, you know.
Yeah.
Pretty close to a triple-double, but a very poor shooting one.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say anything more about that. It may be familiar to some fans out there if you're paying attention, but I'm not going to say anything more about that. Anyway, then game three, this is the one that Rebecca Allen missed, unfortunately. And Olivia Nelson-Adota started in her place. 92-81, New York. This is pretty close, as I recall, up until like the fourth quarter, I believe. 23 points, much better performance from AT. 23 points and 14 rebounds. 16 points from Tip, also having a pretty good season. 14 points from Ono, filling in, not too shabby. But New York, oh boy, 20 points from Nigel Laney. Again, 8 rebounds, 4 assists, 25 from Breonna Stewart. She recovered. She got her MVP award. She got to hug Ruby. Recovered. 16 points from Sabrina Ennis. She just needed to hug her daughter. That was it. That was it. 16 points and 5 assists for Sabrina. 12 and 7 for Sloot. Yeah, Courtney had a pretty good postseason as well. She fits in really well on this team. Even if she's not necessarily putting up numbers. She just does a bunch of smart stuff.
And very under the radar, too.
Yeah. She kind of blends into the background a little bit. But like lots of like really good cuts and so on. And then finally, very close, 87-84. I was really hoping for Connecticut to pull that out because, quite frankly, I'm scared of New York at this point. Yeah, we'll get to it. Connecticut Sun in this game. A few in double figures. Bonner, 12 points. A triple double for Alyssa Thomas, 17, 15, and 11.
Mm-hmm.
15 points for Tip. Again, really nice postseason for her. Dejanay Carrington, 14 points off the bench. We didn't do 6 players this time around because who can keep track? 10 points for Ty Harris, who also shot like over 50% from 3 this postseason, in addition to having a really good season from 3 overall. She shot very well this year. I remember some time people were complaining that we said that she wasn't didn't shoot very well. Remember there were some complaints about that. Yeah. And it was true at the time, but we didn't make it up, folks, okay? But here's what they were up against. 21 points from Nigel Laney.
Yeah.
7 rebounds, 5 assists. 27 points from Breonna Stewart. 9 rebounds. 25 points from Jonquel Jones.
Yeah, I was about to say, Jonquel.
Lord have mercy.
Yeah.
What is this? 67, 68, 69, 71, 72. 73 points from their front court. 15 rebounds for JJ. She was just impossible in this game. 4 block shots. Ouch, 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 ouch. Yeah, did a good job on Sabrina. 9 points, but it didn't matter because everybody else went orf. Oh, my goodness. What can you do? They were lucky to even be in this game. When the front court just blasts you to pieces. And that's it. I guess you didn't catch. Did you catch any of this, Becky?
I think I caught the first 2 games, but yeah, okay. Not the end.
Okay. MJ, what were your thoughts about this series?
I was happy when Connecticut won the first game, but my thoughts are that I think I know why you're scared.
Well, yeah. You think?
Because New York has a lot of pieces that, you know, like I said about Sloot, it's under the radar. And they have a little bit of depth to them as well. Like, if it's going to be a bench game against the Aces, I think New York might have the edge with
You think they might have the edge of the bench
with no Candace there? Yeah, I think it's like, yeah, like it's,
you think
it's
so?
Just, yeah,
we got the 6th player of the year though.
I mean, if you throw Caleb Thornton on her,
I'm clearly joking. The best part is that the Aces have had 9 days off. They may not even need to put in a bench. They just may run 6. In fact, I probably think that's actually going to happen. Minus garbage time. It's just going to be 6 players.
That might be the way to win. Honestly,
it might be the only way to win.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think that us seeing New York do what they've done over the course of the year, seeing them come from a place where they just didn't look all together and then suddenly putting it all together, it seems like since the break. You know what I mean? So,
yeah.
And then now seeing Jonquel also be a factor, and then we're not incorporating the fact that she's MVP capable, DPOY capable, like, you know what I mean? So
yeah,
New York, yeah, kind of serious. I see they got you shaking, huh?
All right. Enough about this for a second. Let's talk about Connecticut a little bit and what they're looking forward to here. They four major pieces unrestricted this year. Dewana, 2024. There was also, okay, well, wait, let me get this out of the way. Dewana Bonner, unrestricted. Breonna Jones, unrestricted. Tiffany Hayes, unrestricted. Rebecca Allen, unrestricted. And then Alyssa Thomas had a post, an Instagram post, where she thanked Connecticut for like the past 10 years. It could be nothing, but she like thanked Connecticut for the past 10 years. And it was just kind of like, what? Yeah. Is there, I don't know. It's weird. Do we think that AT might be like, you know, I gave you everything. Not getting any younger here.
Is that what you took from it?
I want a ring. I don't know. She has another year. I mean, Connecticut could just be like, but yeah, so did JJ. Yeah. Can you truly get tired of Uncasville? Is it possible?
Uh-oh. That's Becky? A
rhetorical question.
Where's Becky? Becky, what's your take?
My take on the Instagram comment is that, like, just Alyssa Thomas does not give me the vibe that she's, like, sending out sneaky messages to the media. I think it was just, like, she had 10 years and had a great season.
Okay. All right. Fair.
Like, a lot of the Chicago Sky players had, like, thank you, Chicago, in their posts from this summer. And I was like, ooh, should I be stressed? But it's like, I don't think
yeah, you're right. It just kind of jumped out at me like, huh?
Doesn't seem her vibe to like announce something or hint at something that way. She like does not like talking to the media or like dealing with this shit at all.
So to bait
that just doesn't seem like her style.
That's very fair.
I could see Dewana doing it. I can't see Alyssa.
Yeah. Well, Dewana was just like, all right, bye-bye. Dewana took all of her choreos, did them 1 year when she was in Phoenix. They chored her. She played the year. Only signed for 1 year. Chored her, played the year. Only signed for the 1 year. Did that four straight times. And then the moment she could get out, she got out. So... yeah, I don't know. I would guess, okay, AT, you know, AT will be back. Dewana, why would you not want to be next to your fiance?
Right.
So imagine she'll be back. They then have a core designation to spend. They probably spend that on Breonna. Make sense. If they did it the first time, they'll do it the second time. And then everybody else is kind of, who knows? I think there will be a market for Rebecca Allen.
Yeah, I think so too. But this team is like, with Breonna Jones coming back, and they have the benefit of Ono having a whole season of more playing time as a much more solid backup. Like, I think this team could be very scary next year if people return. Could be.
I also, well, okay. I won't say that I think a lot went right, because obviously one very big thing went wrong with Breonna's injury. But it also feels like a lot of what happened as a result of that was in some ways positive. They didn't really lose anything defensively. It was a very good defensive team. I think it was the second best team behind the Aces in defensive rating, if I remember right. And just the way that they attacked, you have to think part of it was because the lane wasn't as clogged up for players like DB and Tiffany Hayes. I don't know. I'm wondering. I'm kind of thinking about this a little bit. I do think that there will be a market for Allen, and we'll kind of see if this is where she wants to be, or if she feels like she can do something more somewhere else. And yeah, Tip, you never know with where she is in her career. But yeah, maybe run it back. Wouldn't be the worst possible solution if a healthy Breonna Jones added to all of this and see how far you can get. What are your thoughts, MJ?
I think they should run it back, because Breonna was out, and for all of them to basically elevate their game the way that they did. It's just, and then to have Brianna come back, it would raise their floor and ceiling, I think. You know what I mean? Because we got to see a different a different type of Connecticut team. And especially losing Jonquil too last year. And then you basically have AT running point center, like like she's Magic Johnson or something like that. And yeah, to see where the team, how far they came, and weren't they were the third seed, right? Yeah. So yeah, like I think they're not done. I would keep this team together as much as I could, because it's not like they were getting like stomped by New York either. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, true.
They were in these games. Like, I'm not sure if who's available that they can get. Maybe another like perimeter defender would help. But other than that, I don't.
Skylar lurks for everyone.
Uh-oh. Hey.
Well, you're going to say goodbye to Alyssa Thomas's triple doubles of Skylar's.
I mean, hey, that's fine. You got to sacrifice the game.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, go ahead and bring Skylar in there. And then run it back. Because I think they're right there. Like, they to lose as much as they lost, to come from being in the finals, like, weren't they in the finals last year? Yeah.
Yep.
And to go as far as they went this year, I mean, or to go the distance with New York, at least game in and game out competing, like, they are not a bad team at all. They just down some pieces. And it's like, you got Jonquil on that end, but you don't have anything to combat against that. Like, yeah, bring Breonna Jones, get her back healthy, bring her back, and then, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, run it back.
Okay.
Maybe get somebody to help take some of the pressure off Duana too, so she's not like the go-to scorer of it all, you know what I mean? But yeah, and run it back.
We shall see. It'll be very, very interesting. It's gonna be a good offseason.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Let's move on. I'm frightened, folks. I'm not gonna lie here. I'm not gonna pretend to be brave. Aces versus Liberty. I just feel like this is a bad matchup for Las Vegas. This is the one thing that the Candace Parker injury just kills us here.
Mm-hmm.
Is that we only have two reliable bigs in Asia and Kia, and I'm not entirely sure Kia can play in this matchup effectively.
Oh,
in this matchup, yeah. Dealing with Jonquil is just going to be a handful, and the Liberty figured out they have the system to that nobody else seems to have figured out to ignore Kia on offense and still find ways to cover where they lack, which is the perimeter defense. Sandy Brondello had tip of the hat. She figured out the defensive scheme and it worked. I think we won our last game against them. We won the most recent game against them, if I remember right, which was in the game after the Commissioner's Cup. So that's something, at least. And that was still, you know, pretty worn down Aces team at that point. I knew we were not going to go 2-0 against them, even in the at the house where they were undefeated. I knew we were going to lose one of those games. And I'm glad we lost the Commissioner's Cup, because I didn't want to be the number 2 seed. So thank you very much. But yeah, is they've figured this out, and this is if the Aces are going to win, they need to somehow uncheck this. I don't know if it's going to be mostly Alicia Clark playing to get around it. And if that's the case, I guess I'm okay. Asia on Jonquil, Alicia on Breonna Stewart. You're not gonna stop Breonna Stewart, but maybe you can limit her. And then just hope that you can keep Sabrina contained to some degree. But now Benijah has figured things out. Now Benijah at least is going to be facing probably the best defensive player that she's gone up against this offseason in Jackie guarding her. But just looking at matchups all around, it looks rough. I don't know that Kelsey is going to be able to chase Sabrina all over the place.
Ruh-roh.
Yeah. I'm expecting we're going to get one big, big freaking Sabrina game, maybe two. And if everybody else is hitting, I don't know how we're going to survive them. That's just kind of where it comes down to. I don't know how we're going to contain JJ unless get her in foul trouble is like the key. But it's kind of, you know, all these little areas are mounting. They're adding up a bit. Can we lose on our home floor? This is the first team that I feel like we can lose on our home floor, and because they've done it.
Yeah. And I feel like New York will take game one.
That's the one that worries me the most, because we're coming off a 9-day layoff, and I've seen the Aces come off a long layoff, and it's kind of sticky in the first quarter. They don't just jump right back in and be like, yeah, game ready, let's go. If there's a weakness, that's what it is they start games a little sticky for whatever reason. I don't know what the reason is it takes them a little bit to get into that groove. You know, and then my team isn't chopped liver, right? We've got four really damn good players. Asia is all world, but this is probably the team that I worry for the most for her, because they have two defenders, two very good post defenders that they can stick on her. And I don't know that she's going to go off for 30. Maybe she does it once. I don't know that she's going to do it multiple times. We need the guards to score, and New York has been very good at defending them. If Kelsey goes off, I feel a lot better. If Jackie goes off, I feel a lot better. I know Benijah is going to be on Chelsea, and that's going to be a giant pain in the butt, because it has been practically every game that we've played against them. We need whoever is on Sabrina to just murder her on that end. I mean, not actually murder her on that. I'm not no crimes, okay? I don't want anybody to die. But you get what I mean. Yeah. They need to exploit that.
I just thought Bad Boys Pistons when you
they need to exploit when Marine is on the floor.
Okay.
Yeah, they need to make Marine, every time she goes out there, it's like you cannot put Marine Johannes on this floor. We're going to go after her. We're going to go at her. We're going to give her pain.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It should have happened in several of the games where it didn't happen, and it didn't happen because New York figured out how to defend it. They just ignored Kia Stokes. They would have that player, whoever was on Stokes was on, cheat over and help cover for Sabrina. And the Aces need to figure out a way around that. I'm not sure what that is, because I'm not a good basketball coach. I'm not an offensive mastermind. But hopefully, you know, Becky is, and she can figure it out. Yeah. I'm not really confident about this one.
You want me to break your heart even further?
Oh, go for it. Sure. Why not?
New York's going to win the first game. The Aces win the next two, and then New York wins the rest.
Oh, okay. Oh, you know what? If it gets back to game five, I'll take my chances.
Yeah,
I don't know. Can they beat us twice on our floor?
Yeah, they're going to do it.
I don't know. I'm more worried about it being in four. They win the first game, we win the second game, they finish us off in Barclays. If we get back to game five, I think I'll feel good about that. And I would 100% say move it to the biggest arena that we have in Las Vegas that can hold it, and get everybody in the building and just scream our asses off. Do it. I'm really mad that they took away T-Mobile Arena from us for the playoffs. We're supposed to have the Dallas series in there, and I'm guessing the Golden Knights or somebody said, nope, nope. Kind of makes me, kind of pisses me off because it was supposed to happen. And I would have been great for the finals to also be in there. But whatever, to get them to the Thomas and Mack Center where UNLV plays.
Yeah.
Whatever. Get more than 10,000 people in the building. Get 17,000 people in the building. And let's just screw up. If we get to game five, I'll be totally happy. I am worried about this being over in four, though.
Becky?
Yeah. What do you think, Becky?
Oh, I was just looking up the stats from their last couple of games. So, mm-hmm. interestingly, you know, Jonquil had that massive game in the Commissioner's Cup, and she, mm-hmm. in their first two matchups, she scored 13 and 12, I believe.
Yeah.
But the last two games, she was held to 8 and then 4.
Oh, well, there you go.
Hmm.
That would be nice.
Yeah, I mean, she, you know, this one game was 8 points, 8 rebounds, 3.
I remember one of those games, and she was just so frustrated. She was incredibly frustrated all game.
But their last matchup, Aces held her to 4 points, though they also lost. So,
fair.
That's entirely the solution. And interestingly, Asia has had some of her kind of low scoring games against them.
Yeah.
She got like 9 in one game, which seeing her in single digits is astounding.
It's the worst team for her to play against. Games.
But yeah. The last two games, again, up to 21 and then 23. So some things being figured out there. So I don't know. I'm very scared of the Aces.
Okay.
I don't know. I kind of think the Aces are going to pull this one out.
Okay. Well, I like that.
Right. That's like that's left field.
I think Kelsey has had some poor games against them.
Yeah.
And it's not totally obvious to me why, given that the Liberty's perimeter defense is not their best. They're not great
yeah.
at keeping up with the speedy guards to blow past them. And I feel like I just remember there were some games where Kelsey was just like missing shots she normally makes or missing things at the rim, that I could see her just cleaning that up. Their last game where they lost, Chelsea Gray also shot really poorly, which is not.
Yeah, that's not used for usual.
Very often.
All right, you're talking me into it.
Yeah, Jackie Young's been kind of cruising along against them. Mm-hmm. I don't know. We've seen them play 5 times, and the Aces won 3 of them, or the Liberty won 3 of them. But it's a very close matchup, and I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I feel like we've seen, not against each other, like against each other, we've seen them exploit each other's weaknesses. But just generally, we've seen the Liberty have worse games than the Aces have had. I didn't see that game where the Aces were terrible against Dallas, at least for a quarter. Mm-hmm. So for me, it's just the Aces. I see them so consistently play so well. While the Liberty, you see like amazing moments, and a lot of times you're like, oh,
yeah, they've had those weird drop offs where it's kind of hard to explain why.
Yeah, like the Liberty are almost like still not playing their best basketball. I still watch them sometimes, think like they could even be playing better than this despite being a 2 seed that's been so dominant. And so because we've seen that from the Liberty and not from the Aces, I don't know. I kind of think the Aces will pull it out, but I think it's clearly going to go to 4 or 5 games. There's not going to be a blowout here.
All right. I will settle for 5 games. Let's do this.
Yeah.
Let's get to game 5. I will be very, very, very happy. Yeah, I'm worried. It's not even so much the depth per se. It's just, although that is useful, you know, in keeping players fresh throughout.
Mm-hmm.
But I think New York has figured something out with JJ. I think they've definitely, Bitnija has found a way to be much more productive. Not just being the fifth player who gets the least amount of attention and is taking advantage of it. She beyond sitting in the corner and making threes, which she's done very well all season, is very useful. She has gotten herself involved more in the offense and started to work off the ball and just become a really, really damn good score, especially in these playoffs against a very good defensive team. So that all worries me.
She's turning into like the Jackie Young of the
league. Yeah. You know, it's kind of, it's a little Kalia-esque, right? Finding the right playoff matchups.
Yeah.
A little bit, even against the same player, against DeWanna Bonner, in the semifinals. Yeah, it's just there's a lot here to kind of unpack. I feel that you bring up a great point, Becky, that there's just like Kelsey's performances, especially, it's like that she should be doing this much better than she is, and hopefully the odds kind of shift around about that. I don't expect this. That probably the weakest strength is I don't expect this to be an Asia takeover series. If it is, I will be amazed. It's just, this is the toughest front line that she has to face in Jonquil and Brianna, and I hope that Becky acknowledges this and they don't force it and let the guards who have the advantage cook and hopefully make up for it. So it's gonna be tough. I'm worried, but you know, I'm also like, this season has been great. I'm not gonna be sad if they lose out in the finals. It's fine. It's been a wonderful season.
Preparing for the worst, huh?
That's just how I see it. So if we overcome this, you know, I'll be thrilled. If not, I'll be fine with it. I would be totally, thoroughly happy for a lot of players on New York who haven't won championships yet. Good for them. But yeah, anyway, that's it. Any final thoughts here about the finals or anything else that is going on?
Becky.
I don't think I have anything.
All right. Well, it has been awesome to get together again. We will reconvene at some point before the finals are over and do a little update, because I missed you guys too much. And
yeah,
don't ever leave me again.
Right, man. Yeah, y'all took the
don't leave me alone with my thoughts.
For real.
Just want to think about anything, just basketball. Let me think about basketball.
Right.
Anyway, y'all out there, I hope you missed us as well. We missed you. You know, be good to each other. It's exciting times in the WNBA. Enjoy it. You know, don't dwell on the negative. Dwell on the positive and enjoy what's going on, because things are looking up. They're looking great. We're going to get a great draft class in this season.
Yes.
We're getting Caitlin Clark. God damn it.
Yes.
She said it. She's preparing for this to be her final season. She's coming over. There's no point in her staying in the NCAA. She's leveled up. It's playing on easy mode. It's time to come to the join the big leagues. Join the big girls. The Seattle Storm or whoever the hell drafts her.
Right. Come mess around and win an MVP in a rookie year or something like that. Yeah.
Get on in here and just start doing the damn thing.
Indeed. All right.
Anyway, all right. For MJ Robococo, I am Snap Wilson. We're back, baby. We're not going anywhere.
No.
And we will see you at some point in the future. Some point before the finals are over, we'll do a catch up and talk about the interim games. Maybe a little shorter podcast, and then cover any news that's happened since. That's it. Yeah,
we can talk about what your fear level will be after Sunday.
Oh yeah, after two games, we're down 0-2, and I'm just a miserable wreck. We'll talk about it. Anyway, for MJ Tolliver, Robococo, I am Snap Wilson. This has been the sixth podcast of the year, and we'll see you when we see you next. Peace out.
Peace out.
Goodbye.